We're going to start in the same place Rabbi Willick started, but hopefully go in a different direction and explore other aspects of the Geirus process. As Rabbi Willick noted, Pasuk in this week's Sedra, source 1 of the Marmakomos, Reishis Yud Beis Hei, Vaikacha Ramas Sarai Yishto Veslo Ben Achiv, Ves Kol Rechushamash Vesanefesh Asher Achoshu Vesanefesh Asher Asu Vecharan, Vayetzul Alechas Arts Akanan, Vayvo Arts Akanan. Rashi famously quotes the Chazal that's bothered with the language of Asu. What does it mean that they created these nefashos, these souls? Rashi comments, quoting the Medrash, Avram Megayir Esanoshim, Sarah Megayir Esanoshim, Avram and Sarah had a Geirus program, and they were Megayir many people. The Sifrei in Parshas Veschanan, source 2 in the Marmukamos, also quoted similarly in the Medrash Rabbah in Ar Sedra, has a more dramatic and more expansive version of this medrash that Rashi alludes to. Take a look, source number 2, 4 lines in, Dover Acher, the Ahavta Hashem Elokecha. What does it mean to have Avas Hashem? Ahaveyu Alabrios. You should cause the Kodesh Baruch Hu to be loved by humanity. Ka'avra Mavicha, Kenyan Shenamar, Vesanefesh Asher Asu V'charan. V'halo, in this Kansim Kol Baya Olam, Livros Yitosh, if all of mankind would get together and attempt to create a mosquito from nothing, they would be unable to. They couldn't infuse life into the smallest creation. So what does it mean that Avram Avinu created nefashos? Ela melamed shaya Avram Avinu megayram umachnisam tachas kanfei hashchina. It means that Avram Avinu was megayir, converted these people, and he brought them tachas kanfei hashchina. So you might have understood the notion of Avram Megayir Es HaNashim in a more limited context, that the Kaddish, Avram was teaching monotheism to the world, he was weaning these people off of Avodah Zarah, but it sounds like from this message more than that, not just that they kept the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, but Matnis Antachas Kanfei Shechina implies that there was a fuller embrace of whatever Judaism meant at that time, whatever the religion of Avram Avinu was. How many people did Avram affect? How broad was this movement? There's a fascinating line in the beginning of the Rambam, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, where the Rambam discusses the intellectual and the religious history at the beginning of the world. I forgot to put in the Marmukamos, but the Rambam, beginning Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes, "Bimei Enosh Tov B'nei Ha'adam Tos Gadol." In the time of Enosh, a few generations after Bias Olam, mankind began to engage in a phenomenal error. Nivra atas chachme oso ador, ve'enosh atam minatomaya. So everyone began to drift away from a consciousness of the Kadosh Baruch Hu into a type of Avodah Zarah. And then the Rambam describes how this spiraled until the time of Avram Avinu, and then Avram Avinu created a counter movement to bring people back to a consciousness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rambam Malacha Gimel, Kevin Shenigmal Eitan Zeh Hiskel Lishotet V'Daito V'Katan V'Hiskel Lachsho B'Yomu V'Layla. Avram was beginning to think, to contemplate day and night, what runs the world? Is there a HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Then the Rambam goes on to say, after Avram came to this realization of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hayamahalich V'Korei U'Mikabit Tza'am Ayir La'ir U'Mimam L'cha L'mam L'cha. He would go and gather the people from city to city, from kingdom to kingdom, Ajiagil Eris Kanan, till he got to Eris Kanan. Fukore, Shinamar, Vaikrasham, Bashem Hashem, El Alam. The Kaven Chayu Amis Kapsim, Ela, Vashola, Lavaldvara, people would gather, they'd ask him questions. Hayamudia, Lachal Echad, Viacha, Kifi Daito. So he would answer everyone based on their knowledge. Ashiyaksiru, Ladarach Emes, until he brought them back to the proper path. Ashinis Kapsu, Elav, Alafim, Viravavos. There were thousands and tens of thousands of people that gathered around Avram Avinu. V'heim anshei beis Avraham, shasa b'libam ha'ikar ha'gadol hazeh, chiber bo svarim, li'odil li'yitzhak b'no, reference to Avram Avinu writing svarim. We don't know exactly what these svarim are. There was a Sefer Yetzira before that. And then he gave this over to Yitzchak his son. So the movement that Avram began, it's unclear where the Rambam gets these numbers from. They don't seem to appear in Chazal. But the Rambam references thousands and tens of thousands of people who were part of this movement. Parenthetically, where do all these people go? We don't really find them anywhere else in Chumash. It sounds like at the time of Yitzchak Avinu, it's only Yitzchak. There's a comment that the Pardes Yosef quotes from the Alexander Rebbe, that all these people, after Avraham Avinu passed away, weren't willing to follow Yitzchak because Yitzchak was less charismatic. He wasn't the same tipus of Avraham Avinu. They didn't gravitate in the same way that they gravitated to Avraham Avinu, and they kind of fell off the path. Be that as it may, this sifrei that we saw in source 2, the Ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, like Avraham Avinu, who went around and convinced people to believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu and who's Megayer them, the Rambam quotes this in his Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvahs Asei Gimel, the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. So is there actually a mitzvah to accept prospective Gerim, to facilitate Geris for those people interested in converting to Judaism? Was Avraham Avinu's actions, were his activities, a model Ludoros? Was that a one-time thing? Or is this really reflected in some kind of lasting imperative to work with prospective Gerim? So among the classic Monia mitzvahs, those Rishonim that have lists of Taryag mitzvahs, you don't typically find a mitzvah in the list of Taryag of Kabbalah's Gerim, of accepting Gerim. However, there is a Tashbeitz. The Tashbeitz, one of the Rishonim, has a chibur called Zohar HaRakia. Zohar HaRakia is a work that the Tashbeitz wrote as a commentary on Rav Shlomo Ibn Gviro's Azharos, his list of mitzvahs. So in this commentary of the Zohar HaRakia, Simen Kavches, the Tashbeitz wonders why Rav Shlomo Ibn Gviro doesn't quote Kabbalas Gerim in his list of Minyan and Mitzvot. Tashbeitz seems to assume that Kabbalas Gerim, accepting Gerim, really should be included in the list of Taryag. Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo, in his famous lengthy commentary on Rav Sadia Gaon's Sefer HaMitzvot, Rav Sadia Gaon wrote his Azharos, two or three words corresponding to every mitzvah, and then Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo, a couple of generations ago, wrote volumes and volumes on each of these few words of Rav Sadia Gaon. So in his Perush, you have it here in the Mar Mekomos in Source 3, Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo to Rav Sadia Gaon, the very end of Essay Yotes. He writes, "Ube'emes t'mi hani ala tashbeitz, b'zeh shelo yad al eza mitzvah nismechas mitzvahs kabbalas geirim." So the tashbeitz we just quoted says, why isn't kabbalas geirim included in the minyan mitzvahs? So Ruchem Fishel Perlo wonders, what was he bothered by? "V'ladati yesh lomar b'pshitas, d'ladas monei ha-mitzvahs, he nismechas al mitzvahs avas Hashem." Ruchem Fishel Perlo thinks it's pashut, that Kabbalas Gerim is included in the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Just like the Rambam in Esei Gimel in his Minyan HaMitzvos quotes this Sifri, Avoso El Abrios, like Avraham Avinu, so that's included in the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. If you love something or someone so much, you want to convince others of its value, of its beauty, that's what Avas Hashem is. If we really love Hashem, then we should be out there to convince other people of the beauty, the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that creates some kind of an imperative for Kabbalas Gerim. According to others, it could be that facilitating the Gerus of a committed, sincere convert may be included not in the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, of loving Hashem, but the mitzvah of Avas Hager, loving a Ger. The Torah tells us, Sefer Dvarim Perek Yud, V'yahavtem es Hager, ki Gerim heisem Eretz Mitzrayim, you should love the Ger, because you yourselves were Gerim in Eretz Mitzrayim. So the simple understanding of this pasuk is that it refers to someone who's already Megayer. Once someone becomes Jewish, they convert, so then there's a special mitzvah of Avas Hager. But not necessarily that that's an imperative to facilitate someone to get to that point of Geirus. That's the simple understanding of the Rambam as well. There's a beautiful contemporary sefer on Hilchos Geirus called Mishnas Hager, written by Rav Moshe Klein. So he points out, Achronim who say this, the Rambam Hilchos Deyos Perek Vav Halacha Dal, the Rambam writes, Avas Hager, Shabba V'nichnas Tachas Kanfei Ashkina. So once you have a Ger who already converted, so then you have Shtei Mitzvahs Asei. Then you have two Mitzvahs Asei. One of them, Mimneishu B'chlal Reyim. You have the Haftal Recha Kamocha that applies to every Jew, so it applies to a Ger as well as to a born Jew. And then you have Avas Hager, the additional imperative of the Haftal Mitzvah Ger. So the Rambam sounds like Avas Hager only applies after Geirus. Yeah.
If it says Ki Geir, Ha'is Hager's Mitzrayim,
right,
we never converted to Mitzrayim. We were strangers. So why would the simple reading be, you should like a stranger in your midst who's not Jewish, but happens to be residing among you?
So we seem to understand that that is true on some level, but a ger also experiences a real ger, a ger tzedek, experiences the same kind of social discomfort that we experience as gerim in Mitzrayim. So the comparison, as you're pointing out, may not be 100%, but that comparison is enough to create a chiyuv of avas hager. However, despite this simple understanding of avas hager, there is a fascinating Tosfos HaRash. Source number 4 in the Bar Mikomos, Tosfos HaRash, Shabbos, Daf Kuf, Lamed Zayin, Amid Beis. The Gemara there in Shabbos, the end of Perek of Lezer Demila, which discusses the halachas of Bris Mila, also Parshas Lech Lecha, another excuse to talk about this today. So the Gemara there says, the bracha on Mila Sager, part of the process of Geirus for males, includes a Bris Mila. But the Gemara tells us increases on Daf Tes, that Geirus requires Mila, Tvila, Haritzaz Dam, that Geirus requires Mila for males, Tvila for everybody, and bring a korban when there's a Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara there in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Zayin says that if you're Mala Ger, you say the bracha, Shir Kedeshad, Mr. Savit Sivano, Lama Lasagerim. Says the Tosfos HaRash. Hamala Sagerim, source 4, Omer, Asher Kedeshad, Mr. Savit Sivano, Lama Lasagerim. Kinitzadinu, Lehove Sagerim. We're commanded to love Gerim, Avasager. The Efshar, Leos Ger, Blomila. So if there's a tzivoy to love a ger, how do you become a ger? Well, you can't become a ger without mila. So obviously, there's a mitzvah to be ma'alas a ger. Tosfos HaRash is bothered. What's the asher kedushat mitzvah of? You say, bracha, that we have a tzivoy, we're commanded to be ma'al gerim. Where does it say in the Torah that you have to be ma'al gerim? So Tosfos HaRash says, no, it doesn't say you have to be ma'al gerim. It says you have to love a ger. You can't have a ger without bris mila if he's a male. So obviously, there's a mitzvah to facilitate the Geirus through Mila in order to be able to come to Avas Hager. So Tosfos HaRash assumes, seemingly, that Kabbalas Geirim is included in the mitzvah of Avas Hager. There is a interesting comment of Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, in the Parsha of Hakel, Parsha of Vayelech, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yudbeis and Dvarim, looks like in the Marmor comments they only gave you the Pasuk, not the Ibn Ezra, but we'll compensate. The pasuk says in the midst of Hakel, source 5, Hakel asa'am anashim anashim ataf v'gercha shebisharecha, gather everyone together, man, woman, child, and ger. So who is the ger that we're talking about? I would have assumed ger is a ger tzedek. You have to gather the born Jews, men, women, and children, and the converts as well. Says the Ibn Ezra, v'gercha shebisharecha, two words, ula yisyahed. Maybe he'll become Jewish. So who's this ger? Obviously it's not a ger tzedek, a ger who's already Jewish, because the Ibn Ezra says maybe he'll become Jewish. Must be talking about a ger toshav, someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, agrees to abide by the Shev Mitzvot B'nai Noach, he has certain citizenship rights, but he's not halachically Jewish. So that ger, the Ibn Ezra says, has to come to Hakel, because we're interested, ulai yisyahed, maybe he'll become Jewish. That sounds like we have an interest in facilitating Geirus on some level. Now, there is a comment, the pseudo Pardes Yosef. Pardes Yosef is written on the first three Chumashim. And then the last number of years, someone wrote a chibur in the style of the Pardes Yosef on Bamidbar Dvarim. So the pseudo Pardes Yosef suggests, well, maybe the Ibn Ezra doesn't really mean that. Maybe he means that we want to encourage the Geir Toshav to be properly observant of Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. A little difficult because Ger Toshav already is observant of Shabbat Mitzvot B'nai Noach. Be that as it may, simple reading of the Ibn Ezra sounds like we have an interest in facilitating and perhaps even encouraging Geirus when appropriate. What we have to focus on now is how this mitzvah of Kabbalas Geirim, be it a function of Avas Hashem, be it a function of Avas Hager, how does that square with what we're always taught, that there's orientation towards Dechiyah, towards pushing away a prospective ger. The most famous expression of this notion of dechia we find in a Medrash Rabbah, source number 7, Rus Rabbah Perek Beis Ost Hezayim. If you ask anyone on the street, tell me something about gerus, you'll probably hear a response, oh, you're supposed to push away a prospective ger three times. So that seems like something that everyone knows about gerus. Doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara, doesn't appear anywhere in the page of Shulchan Aruch, does not appear anywhere in classic Rishonim. What's the source for this notion of pushing away a prospective ger three times? This Medrash Rabbah. Rus Rabbah, source number 7. shoved up the Nasai Lechna. That's when Naomi says to her two daughters-in-law, Rishua Bar Nachmeni, B'shem Rav Yudin, Rav Chanina, V'shalosh Mekomos Ksiv Kan, Shovna, Shovna, Shovna. Naomi says Shovna three times, return, 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 go back, go back, go back. Keneged Gimel Pa'amim, Shedochen Es Hager, corresponding to the three times that you're supposed to push away a ger. Again, doesn't appear in the classic sources. The only Rishon that I'm aware of that quotes this is a Sefer Rokeach, not one of the most often quoted Rishonim. I'll put in a plug, Rabbi Reese just published a Sefer that came out called Kanfei Yonah. I'm sure it's available here somewhere from YU Press. He wrote this article years ago in one of the publications in Yeshiva, but it's reprinted in his new Sefer, and he tries to develop an approach as to how we actually do fulfill this notion of being docha perspective ger three times. Whether or not we're really concerned about the three-time dechia, there definitely is an orientation towards dechia, towards pushing away perspective ger that we find in the Gemara. The Gemara source number 6, Yevamos Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, the classic sugya about the process of gerus. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, source number 6, ger shabal liskayib is manazet. The ger comes, expresses interest in gerus nowadays. Omrim lo, we say to him, Mara Isa Shabbasal Eskayer, why are you interested in being a Geyer? Iyata Yodea, She Yisrael Bismanazeh, Dibuyim, Dechufim, Sechufim, Miturafin, the Yisurin Bonalim. Don't you know that nowadays the Jewish people are persecuted, oppressed, despised, harassed, afflicted? It's not easy to be a Jew. Then I'm skipping a couple lines, the end of line 3. We have to tell him the consequences of not fulfilling mitzvos. Before you become Jewish, you eat chayla, you eat forbidden fats, no consequence. You mechal Shabbos, no consequence. In fact, you're not allowed to keep Shabbos. Now, you're going to eat chayla, karis. Chilat Shabbos on a skila. Then there's clearly an orientation that the Gemara describes that we try to make sure a prospective ger has full knowledge of the consequences of his gerus, and it sounds like we attempt to discourage him from this path. Why is that so? Why should we have such an orientation of dechia? What about Avas Hashem, Avas Hager? So take a look a little bit later in the Gemara. Here it's printed as the second paragraph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom, the middle of the line. Omrim lo, Mari Isa Shabbasal Eskayer. We say to him, why are you interested in being a guy? You're Modiyamos HaMitzvos, Mitzvos Kalos, Mitzvos, Mitzvos Chamuros. And we give him a smattering of easy mitzvos and difficult mitzvos. My Taima, Deep Harish Nifrash. Why do we do this? So that if he wants to back out, we'll let him back out. The perplexing statement of Reb Chalbo, that Geirim are difficult for the Jews, like a sapachas, like a form of saras. The Gemara connects this name of Reb Chalbo, that Kashim Geirim kisapachas, to the notion of Dechia, to trying to convince a prospective Geir not to follow through with the Geiris. Major machlokas we shown him here. What is the orientation of Reb Chalbo? Is Reb Chalbo highlighting some kind of deficiency in the collective body of Geirim? That there's something wrong, so to speak, with Geirim, at least some Geirim would be detrimental to the Jewish people? Or is he emphasizing that just the opposite, Geirim have a certain exalted status, have a certain status that we can only wish for, and that might reflect negatively back on Jews from birth. So take a look in the second page of the Marmakomos, source number 8, Rashi that sugya Yevamos Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Amar Mar Kashiv Geirim Liyisrael Kisapachas. Loshon Sapachas She'ochsim Maseim Arishonim. That Geirim tend to preserve some of their initial practices. They preserve some remnants of their upbringing. V'lom D'Misrael Mehem. And the Jews are going to learn from them. So they may engage in certain practices that are non-halachic, that aren't in consonance with our lifestyle, then they still violate some halachos, and that's going to have a negative influence on other Jews. Or they're going to engage in erroneous piskei halacha, they're not going to know what to do properly, and people are going to draw misimpressions from their activities. Rabbim sounds this way as well, one second. Rabbim Yisurei Bia Perak Yud Gimel Halacha Yud Ches Mimneza Amr Chachamim Kashim Lehem Geirul Yisrael Keneget Saras Sheruban Chozim Mishvil Davar Matan Yisrael, that most of them are going to somehow retract from their initial commitment, and they're going to lead other Yisraelim astray. The Kasha Davar Lifrosh Meham Achish Neskayim, it's difficult to separate from them after they are Megayer. I'll come to your question in a minute, just let me get a little bit further. The Meiri writes, Yivamas Kuftesa Med Aleph Dira Maskali Olam, Kuftesa Med Beis Dira Maskali Olam, that the concern of Reb Chelbo is specifically for people that convert for ulterior motives. That there, as Rabbi Willi discussed earlier, if a person is Megayer for ulterior motives, L'shem Ishus or the like, so once the impetus is gone, so then they're going to be less likely to fulfill the commitments that they initially signed up for. Source number 10 over here. L'olam yehei adam nimna shalala kabel geirim, ela imkein achar b'china gedola. You have to make sure that they're sincere. Ala derech shesbar m'saf dezu. Shema mitoch eza siba hei misgairim. Maybe they're converting for ulterior motivation. Ve'en kavanosim nekiyam mikol v'chol. And they're not really sincere. Ukishin isgairu parcha sibasam. Once they're megayer and that initial impetus is no longer there, they're going to be lax in their observance of mitzvos. The Yisrael, Lameda Mehem, and other Jews are going to learn from them. According to Rashi and the Rambam, it sounds like this concern might apply to anyone. Even if they convert for sincere motivation, they may not be fully aware of everything they're supposed to do. They may be a negative influence. And the Iri says, after those who convert for ulterior motivation, once the motivation is gone, we're concerned they may be lax in their observance. Yeah.
Why do we give them three easy and three difficult? Unless you can be yotzer with either one, why don't you give them, let's say, only the three difficult ones or whatever?
Very good question. I'm going to come to that hopefully in a few minutes with a comment of the Bach that we're going to see. Good. Okay. On the other hand, we have the position of Tosfos that suggests a very different approach to the statement of Reb Chelbo. Take a look at Tosfos, source number 9 over here. Dibur Maskel Kashim. I'm going to skip to the last line on this Tosfos, V'yesh Mefarshim. What's Rashi? Then he says, V'yesh Mefarshim. L'fisha b'yoser husaru Yisrael alagerim. V'ein yicholim l'hizar me'onasa. So there are special lavin of onasa ger, discussed in the Mishnah Bavin Siyadach Mentes, that there are very severe provisions if a person says anything to afflict, to cause discomfort to a ger. Person says, you know, I remember you used to be Mechal Shabbos, you used to eat Tarfus. That's a very severe violation of Anas Hager. So if a person, if we allow for Gerim, so we're setting us up for the potential Michshol of not being properly careful about Anas Hager. So definitely because Gerim are so special, we're concerned that we don't want to be Michshol in the way we interact with them. Tosos in Kedushin, Daf Mem Zayin has Daf Ayin, Tosos in Kedushin, Daf Ayin of Abayz, also has a different shot that discusses the exalted status of a ger within the statement of Sapachas, that gerim tend to be dafka more knowledgeable in their observance of mitzvahs. They're going to be more scrupulous. And that's going to be a tie on us. Look, these born Jews aren't as careful about how they keep mitzvahs, and this ger who came from nothing, he's super nizer about mitzvahs. And that's going to be a kitrug, that's going to be a tie on the rest of us. Why aren't we as careful in our shmiras and mitzvahs as this ger? But it is clear from both the entirety of the Gemara and the Medrash, as we'll see in a moment, that there is a balance between an initial orientation towards dechiyah, towards pushing away a prospective ger, and the subsequent encouraging of a prospective ger who is sincerely motivated to convert. The Gemara has a line. Let's go back to page 1 of the Mar Mekomos. back to Yivamish Mem Zayin Amud Aleph onto Mem Zayin Amud Beis. I don't see it here. I think it's here somewhere. The Gemara has a line of a marbin alav, a medaktikin alav. That after we have this initial conversation, we shouldn't be too exacting or too strict. Or
part of the second paragraph.
First part. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Good. Thank you. Beginning of the second paragraph. Lo rov tova velo rov peranos. A marbin alav, a medaktikin alav. That after we go through this give and take, we tell him about Mrs. Kalif, Mrs. Kamura, Scarba Onesh, trying to discourage him. But we shouldn't be too exacting. A marbin alav, a medaktik and alav, don't be too exacting. You should facilitate the geiris once it's appropriate. Now take a look back at the Medrash Rabbah, source Zion. Again, right after saying that we're docha three times, the Medrash says, "V'im hitriach yosem mikam mekablen oso." But if after those three attempts at pushing away the geir, he still wants to be megayir, then we're mekabel him. Amr Reb Yitzchak, bachutz lo yalin geir, pasuk in Iyov, literally, do not let the ger sleep on the street. A person always should have this balance that you should push away with the left hand and be mekarev with the right hand. There's an initial orientation towards dechiyah, but ultimately there's an orientation towards kiruv as well. There is a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Source number 12 of the Mar Mekamos. That fits into this perspective as well. The Gemara says, Saditas Amidbeis in Sanhedrin, Timda Maihi, Timda Bas Melachim Havai, Timda came from royal lineage. Dichsiv Aluf Lotan Aluf Timda, Chol Aluf Malchusa. Okay. Bayalig Yure, she wanted to convert, she wanted to join the family of the Avos. So she came to Avram, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, and they didn't convert her. They weren't mekabel her. What happened? She gave up. Then she became a pilegesh to Eliphaz, the son of Esav. Amra, mutav tehe shifchal umazu v'lo tegvir l'umacheres. So she couldn't get in the front door, so to speak, with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. She got into the back door. She became a pilegesh to Esav's son, because she wanted to have some connection to the general family of the Avos. What happened? Nafak mina Malik. So that was the progenitor of a Malik. Did Tzarin Yisrael? That caused Tzaris for the Jewish people for all of history. My Taima. So this is a punishment to the Avos. Why? The Avos shouldn't have pushed away Timna. So even though we do have this orientation of Dechiyah, pushing away prospective Ger, but it sounds like if you see that someone is sincerely motivated, you have to work with them. And that was a taina against the Avos, that the Avos didn't work with Timna. They pushed her away, and we were punished with the birth of Amalek. So back to your question, the Bach, Yoradea Simin Reish Samiches, sees within the Gemara's presentation of Mrs. Kalis, Mrs. Chamura, Scarba Onesh, an attempt at finding the correct balance between Kirov and Richa. Take a look at source number 13. Bach Yerdeya Simon Weisamaches Os Hey. Umashakas of Modino Samixus Mixos Kalos Vichamuros, that we inform the prospective Ger about a smattering of mitzvos. Vatam Deshema Yifrosh Bishamo Hachamuros Vaonchim, that maybe he'll decide that he doesn't want to proceed once he hears about the difficult mitzvos and the punishment. The Beis Yosef quotes the Smag. Smag says essentially we're worried about buyer's remorse. We don't want to create a situation where a day later the ger is gonna wake up and say, "What did I do?" So full disclosure, know what you're getting into. Well, ich baslami de Rebbe Chelba. Vaha de Modi and Kalos, Miskar Mitzvos, So now I understand why we tell them about the difficult mitzvahs, because we want to give them a chance to back out. Why do we tell them about some easy mitzvahs? Why do we tell them about schar? Hainu taiva, d'shema kavanas l'shamayim. Maybe he's sincerely motivated. He wants to be megayer for all the right reasons. Im lo hodiu kalos v'schar mitzvahs. And if we're not going to tell them that they're easy mitzvahs too, and that they're schar, gormin letardo ulatosim miderach tov l'derach ra. So we're going to push him away unnecessarily, unjustly. He's going to go away from the correct path. He's going to go to a derech ra. Sheyiri midlis gayer. He's going to be afraid to be megayer. V'chashva shekarifu la'onesh v'rachot mischar. He's going to think erroneously that it's such a difficult religion. He's more than likely going to get punished, and he's not going to get any reward. So the Bach thinks that we have to balance. We have to tell him, yeah, there are mitzvahs chamurus, there are difficult mitzvahs, there are onshim, there are consequences, and maybe he'll have second thoughts, but at the same time, we have to tell him there are easy things too. There are mitzvahs kalos, there are easy mitzvahs, there is also schar. So we have to convey that there is such a balance. Interestingly, the Meiri has a different perspective on mitzvahs kalos. He thinks that mitzvahs kalos are also meant to discourage. How are mitzvahs kalos going to discourage? Than any other religion, the religion focuses on certain big-ticket items. Any other religion focuses on the major requirements of that religion. But no other religion governs the minutiae of day-to-day life. No other religion says, this is what you have to do when you get up in the morning, and you wash the tefillin, and you tie your shoes this way. Every step of life is governed by halacha. So someone who's raised in a different society, in a different religion, where there's no notion of halacha governing every facet of your day-to-day life, is going to be in for a shock when he realizes what the halachic system entails. So the Meiri thinks that even the mitzvahs kalos, even the easy mitzvahs, are meant to discourage a prospective ger to realize that nothing that you do is not governed by halacha. There is an interesting comment of Reb Elia Gutmacher, Shuvas Reb Elia Gutmacher, Yerodea Simon Pei Zion, mid-19th century. He suggests that if a Bezdin has doubts about the sincerity of a prospective ger, it could go either way. The ger presents as being sincere, but they have some lingering doubts that maybe there's some other motivation lingering in the back of this ger's mind. He thinks that it's better to be megayer someone under those circumstances, as long as that person professes to be observant, that they're going to be mekabel mitzvahs properly, they're going to live an observant lifestyle. You just have your suspicions. He thinks it's better to be megayer the person despite the doubt that a bezdin has than to push him away. Why? Because of the timna model. The avos presumably had certain justifiable reasons for not accepting timna. They probably thought that she wanted to marry someone within the family of the avos, and she was motivated by insincere objectives. And that was nevertheless a tie on the avos. The avos should have accepted her. So Belia Gutmacher suggests that as far as finding this balance between kiruv and richuk, sometimes it might be better to err on the side of kiruv. Because at the end of the day, as Rabbi Willard quoted earlier, the Mishnah Yevamos, Kulam Geirim Heim, that even if someone converts for ulterior motivation, as long as they're properly Mekabel Mitzvos, the Geirus is good, at least post facto. So in that situation, if the Geirus is going to be good, at least be the Eved, Rabbi Elia Gutmacher thinks you should err on that side and proceed with the Geirus. Whether this is reflective of general practice or halacha, we won't get into now, but there is that orientation that maybe as far as this balance, there's room to err on the side of the Kiruv over the Richuk. Now, while a Bezdin does need to strike this appropriate balance between pushing away and being Mekarev, there are situations where the general orientation weighs much more heavily in favor of the Kiruv, and the Dechiyah, the pushing away, might be much more severely minimized or even dispensed with entirely. And the discussion of this goes back to New Orleans in 1864. One of the fascinating figures in 19th century American Jewry was Rabbi Dr. Bernard Eloi. Rabbi Eloi was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. He also had a doctorate in philosophy from the University of Budapest. which I don't imagine most Talmidim in the Chasam Sofer had. And I see a Hungarian nodding his head. He came to America after 1848. He was on the wrong side of the 1848 revolutions. He came to America. He ended up being, he was a Rav in a few places. He ended up with a Rabbanus in Baltimore right before the outbreak of the Civil War. And he gave such a strong secessionist rush in shul that he was invited to become the Rav of New Orleans in the Deep South. So he ended up in New Orleans at the beginning of the Civil War. It happens to be that New Orleans was one of the first southern towns to fall to the north. And by the end of the war, he was one of the maspidim for Lincoln, so there's some shift in his hashkafos. But be that as it may, he might have been the first rabbi in America who actually wrote tshuvas. He was a Talmid Chacham of stature. He corresponded with Rabbanim in Europe at the time. His son put together a collection of his ksavim, of his English articles in the American media of his tshuvas. Fascinating look into American Jewish history around the time of the Civil War. Parenthetically, he's responsible for the halachic discussion about Muscovy duck, whether Muscovy duck is kosher. He writes that when he got to New Orleans, he saw these funny-looking ducks waddling around, and he saw that the Baal Bat were eating them, and he asked the shul president what's going on, and there's no Masorah, so he corresponded with Gedolim in Europe about that. He writes about when he came to New Orleans, there were only two or three sukkahs in town, and by the time he left, there were dozens of sukkahs, so he had a tremendous hashpa. But one of the things that he noticed in New Orleans in the early 1860s was the unfortunate prevalence of intermarriage, which is something that was going on all across America at the time. And he noticed that there were a lot of intermarried couples in New Orleans where the father, the husband was Jewish, the mother was not Jewish, and they would do a milah for the kid who wasn't a halachically Jewish, non-Jewish mother, but the Jewish father would insist that they give the kid a milah. And Rabbi Eloy was against this. There was no suggestion, no havim in the world that these kids are going to be megayer. No one's converting these kids. They're living a totally secular lifestyle. So there's no argument that it's a milah l'shem geiris. And our practice is not to do milah for non-Jews. So he was very upset about this. He issued an edict, a cheirim, a takana, whatever, that the moalim in New Orleans are not allowed to do milah for the children of non-Jewish mothers. It's a bracha levatal if you make a bracha. And that was his directive. So the way he writes there in the memoirs is that there were three moalim in New Orleans. Two of them agreed to follow the rabbi, and one of them did not agree to follow the rabbi. So there's a whole back and forth in the newspapers in the time of the time, in the Jewish Messenger and Der Israelit in Germany. And this spawned a correspondence with two gedolim in Europe at the time. So he wrote that he had corresponded initially with Rav Shamshon and Fall Hirsch in Frankfurt, and Rav Hirsch had given his haskama to Rabbi Eloy's directive. But then this led to a correspondence which we have printed in the tshuvas of Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer between Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer and Rav Zvi Hirsch Kalischer. Tshuvas Rabbi Israel, Simanim, Reish Kaf Tes to Reish Lamed Beis. So the whole back and forth, there were each row two tshuvas, so it was a back and a forth and a back and a forth. One of the issues that is discussed in these tshuvas centers on a pasuk in Ezra. Take a look at the last page of the Mar Mekamos. Pasuk in Ezra, source number 14, Perek Tes, Pasuk Beis. Now we know in the time of Ezra Nehemiah, there was rampant intermarriage in Yerushalayim. Pasuk says, Ki nas'umi binoseyam lehem v'livnehem, v'his arvu zera hakodesh v'amei haratzos. So there was marriage of their daughters, their sons, there was a mixture, a tarobes, of holy seed, zera kodesh, v'amei haratzos, with the nations of the land. So what is this Zera Kodesh, this holy seed? Rav Zvi Hirsch Kalischer suggested that Zera Kodesh may be a reference to the children of these intermarried couples. Jewish father, non-Jewish mother. And the child, while not halachically Jewish, was Zera Kodesh, was holy seed. And the Sfirish Kalasher argues that even though such a child is definitely not halachically Jewish, but they have a certain status where we should try to facilitate a proper gerus if possible. So Sfirish Kalasher's orientation was, even if this kid is not going to be Megari right now, well, maybe there's a possibility down the line that a gerus could take place, and maybe it's not so unreasonable to allow for a mila under these circumstances, with the possibility that down the road, maybe there will be a proper halachic gerus.
They,
if the meal was done l'shem geirus, then they wouldn't have to have another meal. If you had a bezdin present, and the bezdin had in mind that this is l'shem geirus, so even if the actual geirus, the completion of the geirus takes place years later, that meal would be sufficient. That's the Sfirish Kalasher's argument. Rabbi Reis pointed out that if you look at the Mitzudas David, Os Tezvav, that sounds like what the Mitzudas David is saying as far as Pshat and Zera Kodesh. Zera Kodesh, Hema Bnei Yisrael. Zera Kodesh is a reference to... that's the other way. We'll get back to that in a second. It was real Hildesheimer said no. Pshat and Zera Kodesh wasn't the child of the offspring of the Jewish father and the non-Jewish mother. Pshat and Zera Kodesh is the Jewish father himself. There were... This Arbu Zera HaKodesh B'Amayaratzos. The Zera Kodesh, the Jewish father, had a tarovus, had an intermarriage with women from non-Jewish families. So it's not the child that's Zera Kodesh, it's the Jewish father. And then there's no special status to the child of such a union. That's what the Mesudas David seems to say. Zera Kodesh, Shema B'nai Yisrael. The Zera Kodesh were the B'nai Yisrael themselves. Those are the Jewish fathers, not the children. So this machlokes, the Sfirish Kalasher and Rabbi Zviel Hildesheimer, even though our general practice is like Rabbi Hildesheimer's argument that we don't endorse a gerus for a non-Jewish child, even if there's a Jewish father, but they didn't do have a certain orientation, as far as at least Dechi is concerned, to be more oriented towards working with the product of a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother. Even if someone's not halachically Jewish, if they have a Jewish identity, they have some Jewish lineage, and they come to be Megayer, so the level of Dechia, the level of attempting to push them off that we would engage in, may be somewhat different than if someone comes off the street with no Jewish background whatsoever.
I think the Nitziv talks about that also.
Yeah?
It mentions that where the father is is Jewish, but there's a Nian that being able to be Megayer, the kid.
Okay, good. And this orientation towards minimizing the dechia when it comes to Zera Kodesh may apply even more so in situations of individuals that believe themselves to be Jewish and might have had a certain non-halachic conversion in their background. Oftentimes, we have cases where people realize that their mother, their grandmother had a non-halachic conversion. They thought themselves to be Jewish. Maybe it was even the kind of Orthodox conversion that Rabbi Willig was referring to earlier, where we wouldn't accept the gerus, but it was done based on certain minority opinions. And in that situation, someone comes to be Megayer, so then there's no dechiyah at all. A number of years ago, my friend and colleague Rabbi Danny Rapp was giving a shiur here in Yeshiva Parshas Lech Lecha Friday night. He spoke about some gerus issues. And one of the Talmidim came to him afterwards and said, if you're right, then I'm not Jewish. So we were able to help him and facilitate a proper gerus. In that kind of a case, there's no dechi at all. Someone's been living as a frum Jew for 20 years, and he realizes that he's not halachically Jewish, so there's no orientation of dechi whatsoever. Yeah?
I'd like to suggest perhaps why the suas is you have to push him away three times.
Yeah.
The words in the paper. Okay, first of all, at the end of the Gemara in Tainus we have, the Leish HaMedabit B'chol Makam, Rabbi Lloyd, also find is the tzach adach ha'achat in the pace. So therefore, yesterday we did Rabbi Eliezer Hamadik, you see, we have, it's a question of the Smeelim, the Yomtaivim, Hamadik, the Chavayim, Amin, Chayim, above, you know, that's the circumstance in the next mitzvah is Siyam, Lachash, Lachash, is the Shtik, and we don't say Siyam, this is based on a Gemara. In is at the Pesukim is that Gimel on the base that we shortened the verbiage. In other words, Abu Dharam, but Abu Dharam is excellent. You see, for Mitzuyan, Mitzuyan from the Abu Dharam is excellent, and there are herits, the Tish, you know, the Jewish etiquette is essentially speaking the responsibilities of guest, the host, and host, the guest. So in Pasha Bechukaisai, in the Torah, the systems of rewards and punishments, you see, therefore, we have to...
Okay, let's ask the reason why we have to be sure that the
woman that they get, that they can stand up to it and put the seal of Hashem on the Samashim.
Okay. Our coordinator wants to hold up on questions to the end, so we'll wrap up and I'll try to leave a couple minutes for questions. Okay. So it happens to be that just looking at the statistics that we've crunched over the last 10 years, that we've had a more centralized system of Geiris under the auspices of the RCA, the motivations that we find for people coming for Geiris divide roughly into thirds. About a third of people who are coming do so because of some kind of L'shem Ishus orientation, some kind of what we'll call ulterior motivation. Ultimately, we'll only be Megayer them if there's full commitment to living a life of Torah mitzvos. Another third come for what we'll call sincere motivations. And another third are people that have some kind of Jewish background, either a Jewish father or a non-halachic conversion or some kind of Jewish identity in their background that pushes them towards doing a proper halachic geiris. So in that last third of the people that come, we really minimize the kind of dechia that we'd otherwise engage in. If they're prepared to live a life of shmiras hamitzvos and be mekabel mitzvos properly, then we do what we can to facilitate a proper halacha geir. So Moshe has a tshuva, 1967 tshuva, that was only printed posthumously. It appears in Chela Tess, printed earlier in one of the Torah journals, but it appears in Chela Tess, Evan Ezer, Simon Yudalid. Ramosha was responding to an inquiry from Brazil about the daughter of a non-Jewish woman, it sounds like a Jewish father, non-Jewish mother, who always believed herself to be Jewish. She was raised Jewish, she became a Balas Tshuva. She didn't realize until she was in Shiduchim that she wasn't halachically Jewish. So she was already engaged to marry a nice Jewish boy. They were living an observant lifestyle. And then she was told that she's not halachically Jewish. So the question was, are there grounds for an expedited geiris process, or do we have to be docha this person the way we be docha anyone else? So Ramosha writes that even though ostensibly this person is coming l'shem ishus on one level, she's about to get married, and that's why she's coming to Beis Din, but that's not really l'shem ishus. L'shem ishus means that someone's living a non-Jewish lifestyle, they want to marry a Jew, so they come to be freedom and beguile them. Here she was living in a Jewish lifestyle for many years before that. It happens to be that now that she's getting married, she realizes that she's not halachically Jewish, but that's not what we mean by l'shem ishus. That's a sincere geiris where she had a Jewish identity, and there's no orientation of dechi at all. Ramosha invokes the story of Timna. Says Timna also, presumably, she came because she wanted to marry someone from the mishpacha of the Avos. But she wasn't Bimigari because she wanted to marry them, she was Bimigari because she thought that was the MS, that was the right thing to do. In that case, our orientation towards Dechiyah is limited. Let me just conclude, and then we'll leave a couple minutes for questions. The last source in the Marmakomos, also from this week's Sedra, Tanchuma, Lech Lecha Osvav. Amar Levesh Lakish, Chaviv Hager, Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Min Osan Uchlusan, Sha'am Duwal Har Sinai. Shlakish says that a ger is more endeared to a Kadosh Baruch Hu than all the multitudes that stood at the foot of Har Sinai. Lama, Shekal Osan Uchlusin, Ilule Sheroa Kolos, Valapidim Ubrakim, Vaharim Roashim, Kol Shofros, Lo Kiblu Leimacha Shemayim. All of our ancestors who stood at the foot of Har Sinai, had they not been overwhelmed by the sound and light show, they wouldn't have accepted the Torah. Vizel Orecha Mikulam, this guy has come to Megayer. He wasn't at Har Sinai, even though there's maybe strains in Chazal that he was on some level, but he wasn't at Har Sinai. And he wants to become a member of Klal Yisrael. The kibul of Omal Chashamayim. Yishkav v'mizeh. That he didn't have all the pressure about kafalein hargigigis. He wants to be megayer on his own. So he is extra chaviv to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So just to conclude, and then we'll take a couple questions, notwithstanding the fact that there is an orientation towards dechia in many situations of geiros, nevertheless, if someone is sincerely motivated, we have an imperative to work with those people, either because of Avas Hashem, Avas Hager, and we see the praises that Chazal heap upon a proper ger tzedek. When we see the Kabbalah mitzvahs that a ger tzedek engages in, that he accepts, on some level, that creates a tie on us, that we should be at least as sincere in our observance of mitzvahs as this ger tzedek, and they are batei din, continue to have siyata d'shmaya to properly navigate ger tzedek through the process. Yeah?
In the case of somebody who finds out that they're not Jewish, so I was told that Rav Moshe had a case like that. A couple of his talmidim, and he actually told them, stop observing Shabbos, stop doing all these things, so they have a chazaka that they're not Jewish. And then he asked them, do you want to convert? And then he went to the Geirus process. But they actually had to stop doing mitzvahs for a while.
I find that hard to believe, because anytime there's a Safa Geirus, you wouldn't tell someone to be
Shabbos. It wasn't Shabbos, it was...
Oh, definitely not.
They definitely were not Jewish.
Correct. Yep.
So they told them, stop keeping
definitely
Shabbos.
Not Jewish.
Yeah.
Right, that I hear. There are Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein has a story in one of his Sfarim about Talmud who was learning in Panovich, and he was one of the biggest Masmudim in Panovich going back, it sounds like, in the 50s, and someone discovered that he wasn't a luckily Jewish, no Suffolk at all. He was 100% a guy, but he was one of the biggest Masmudim in Panovich. So they tried to figure out what should they do, how are they going to break the news to him. So they decided on Holosai Yeshiva that they'd have a Bezdin waiting in the next room. And someone would come and say, you know, we just found out you're not a luckily Jewish, but don't worry, we have a Bezdin next door. There'll be Megayu on the spot, nothing to worry about. So they went and they broke the news to him, and he said, well, if I'm not Jewish, let me think about it. And he came back the next day, and he said, no, you know what, I don't want to be Jewish. And he left. So Rabbi Zilberstein comments, you see, the Torah is not an intellectual prisoner. If someone doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael, so they can learn all the Torah in the world, it's not going to do anything. Yeah, some of the Kedushas Yisrael would have just get up and leave. But he didn't have any Kedushas Yisrael. He was a guy gummer. Once he found out that he's not Jewish, so Ma'aliv al-Azara. And that's not an unreasonable perspective.
On the people who find out later that they're not Jewish,
yeah.
If they had a bris milah, it wasn't L'shem Geirus, it was L'shem Yisrael. Is that... Did the Eved okay L'shem Geirus? Did they have to go?
According to many poskim, that's another issue. If you want to invite me back a different week, we can talk about that. But Al Regal Achas, Hillel, the Geirus at the Hillel Gairani Al Regal Achas, so that we could talk about. But to give that answer, Al Regal Achas is more challenging. Yeah.
Is there a difference between Jews and Gentiles? Because I know
that
from sources 9 and 10, Tosfos of the Meiri, where they talk about why. Bad thing to accept here.
Yeah.
Because Yisrael can learn from it.
Right.
Whereas they're going to be bad.
Right.
That doesn't really apply today. Today, when somebody converts for the sake of marriage,
right.
No firm Jew is going to look at them and say, oh, now I can do a call shop.
It really depends on the community, the environment. You could conceive of a situation where that would be relevant. I think it depends on
where you are.
There are communities where, in Poland now, the majority of. The Orthodox community, sometimes in Poland, are Gerim. So there are places you have a high percentage of Gerim. That could be a factor.
Do we know why the Avos discouraged him or pushed her away, or is that a?
It's not clear in the Gemara. The presumption, it sounds like they were skeptical about her motivation. And Al Faltikin, it sounds like there was a taina that they should have been mekabel her. I think we're out of time.
Yeah.
No.
Go ahead.
Okay.